We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. It's Michael Caputo in for Sandy Beach. Oh, yeah.
I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry. Why, Johnny Ringo. You look like somebody just walked over your grave.
Why, Johnny Brennan. You look like somebody just walked over your grave. Ah, my goodness, my goodness. What we're going to get in the coming weeks, the coming months, is going to be wonderful. I think it's going to be wonderful. That's, of course, the scene from Tombstone, where Val Kilmer, of course, who's playing Doc Holliday, talks to Johnny Ringo after Ringo had challenged Wyatt Earp to a duel. Everybody knew that Doc Holliday was much better with a gun than anybody, just like John Durham, the prosecutor from Connecticut, who has put FBI, mafia, and put them all away. I promised to tell you his top couple of cases. Last hour, I promised to tell you, and I'll do it real quick before I go to the phones at 803-0930, *930 on your cell phone. One of John Durham, the U.S. attorney from Connecticut, one of his highest profile cases was in 99, when former Attorney General Janet Reno under Clinton asked Durham to probe the FBI's handling of Boston mob boss Whitey Bulger. Durham helped convict retired FBI agent John Connolly Jr., who was sentenced to 10 years in federal prison on racketeering charges related to his relationship with Bulger. People went to jail that weren't supposed to go to jail. All kinds of terrible things happened, and nobody was doing anything about it until they brought in John Brennan. And then in 2008, 9 years later, during W's administration, the attorney general, I guess his name was Mukasey then, he assigned Durham to investigate the CIA when they allegedly destroyed videotapes of torture of terrorism suspects. And then, of course, by 2009, under the Obama administration, Eric Holder, the AG at the time, expanded that investigation. That Durham's task was also to probe whether the CIA broke any laws in handling any of the detainees in custody, not just torture. In the end, Durham didn't recommend any charges against anyone in that torture and Gitmo investigation. And, of course, later, Holder appointed Durham to lead the Justice Department's investigation into whether it was legal for the CIA to use enhanced investigation techniques. He investigated Republican Connecticut Governor John Rowland. I mean, this guy's resume is as long as your arm. And he is above reproach. No matter how many times CNN threatens to ruin his reputation, I think he's above it. He's beyond reproach. This is going to be interesting because if you ask me, if there's even one indictment, just one, people in America will understand that the national security apparatus was weaponized in order to spy upon the Republican candidate for president, which should make every single person listening today angry. Darcy in Amherst, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Good. I was listening to your podcast when you were telling about your visit to the Oval Office with your wife and when the president spoke to her. I don't know if that was privately or in front of you or whether you heard, but then you said a little while later she was quiet, and then she said, "It's all right. It's okay." And, that my heart swelled just thinking that the president sees. He sees what your family went through. He and those other 50 or so other families, that it's been done pretty much in secret because a lot of them aren't on the radio. And for your wife to have felt convinced that it was all for something, you know, it wasn't just total wreckage. And anyways, I respect what Pete had to say from Canada. He always has well thought out things. And I guess my response to that is I think we have to trust the president that he has a plan and that he understands. I think he's just one guy and that the swamp is so much deeper than many people could appreciate. And the wheels grind slowly. But I, anyways, the reason I called was, are you there?
Yeah, I am. I wanted to tell you. I didn't want to interrupt because sure. My mom taught me not to. But as I said in my podcast, which anybody's listening, you can catch that at stillstandingradio.com. As I said in my podcast, it amazed. I was sitting there as the president was talking to Marina, and he was focused on her like a laser beam, eyes to eyes, and her eyes were 5 feet away from his eyes across the Resolute desk, and he leaned into her, and talking politely, he said, "So many great things." And I'm sitting there and saying, "He's talking to Marina." You know, I mean, that's not so amazing, but he's not talking to the kids. He's not talking to my mother-in-law. He's not talking to me. He's focused entirely on Marina. Somehow he knew, probably through mutual friends, that Marina was really suffering. You know, nobody suffers worse than a mother, right? And the idea that he took, I think that conversation with her was a couple of minutes, right? He took the time, valuable time, to sit there and make sure Marina felt better. That amazed me. It just amazed me. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I just thought it was fabulous, and I think it speaks to who he is and who we have in charge, and that I trust that he is working on all of this stuff. It's just he's only one guy.
It is.
You know, like the wall, the investigations, all that stuff. Yeah.
It's, you know, Darcy, it's interesting. A friend of mine was with the president the other day, and the president was talking about, not me or our family, but in fact, about everybody who was impacted as witnesses. And he said somebody who had just come to work for him, probably in the White House, I don't know, came to him and said, "Mr. President, I was so happy to come here. I wanted to serve my nation, and I was looking so forward to being a part of your change. But look here," and he showed it to him, and he had a subpoena from one of the investigations. And that person, whoever it was, just broke down and said, I can't do this. I don't know anything about this stuff. It's just like, and the president talked about this person being completely crushed, completely crushed. And there are dozens of stories like that. And he gets it. He knows it. And he's clearly following it very, very closely. I mean, we're just one family of dozens and dozens of families that were impacted by this. And by the way, our family, compared to what's happening to Roger Stone, what happened to Papadopoulos, what happened to Carter Page, what happened to J.D. Gordon, what happened to Waleed Faris, the names I can recite chapter and verse, he knows exactly what went down. And I can tell you, he's not going to let this stand. He's not going to let it stand. Darcy, thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back after these messages. 803-0930, star 930 on your cell phone. If you're on the phone, and I know you're there, I will pick you up. There are a couple of people waiting right now. Do not hang up. We will be right back after these messages. Text on 30930, our text board, which is bigger than life in the studio here. I can't avoid it if you send something to me. And my wife, for example, will send me the grocery list I need to pick up on the way home. You know, don't forget milk. Texter says, "How do we know when and where you'll be on TV and what podcast episode do I find your story of your White House visit?" I'm on Facebook. I usually put up when I'm going to be on TV. The problem we have is, as I mentioned to Tony earlier, it's pretty common to be canceled at the last minute because news changes, and they all all these networks move with the winds of news, right? So I wait until just before when I know it's not going to cancel, and I'll put it up on my Facebook in a brief, you know, catch me on Fox News at this time, right? So if you're not on my Facebook, you know, friend me, and I'll try and bring you in. Problem is I'm hitting my maximum there. I also want you to know that the episode of my podcast that where the story about the White House is the May 2nd episode. May 2nd episode, episode number 32. It's called My Oval Office Report. You can catch that at stillstandingradio.com. You can subscribe there. So, and I'll send you an email every time I put up a new podcast. I do it every week, about 40 minutes of audio. And I do a pretty frequent, not regular, but frequent video to complement the content I put up there. There's not a lot of redundancy. And, I can't be, I'm a temp here at WBEN. I love doing this stuff. I've been doing it for a while. And I don't get enough time on the radio, so I started this podcast thing. It's good. It's growing pretty fast. I was really blessed to have radio.com, the Entercom platform, put me up as a podcaster there, right alongside some pretty big names. I'm humbled by that. But yeah, thanks a lot for that text. What does "I'm your Huckleberry" mean? See, it means I'm your volunteer. As I think, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to kick your butt, but it's like, who's going to volunteer to, you know, to pick up the milk on the, I'm your Huckleberry. And it comes from that era of Tombstone, the movie. It was a pretty common phrase. It wasn't an aggressive term, but Doc Holliday used it like, hey, I'll help you out. Right. And Johnny Ringo didn't take it so well. In fact, he kind of died.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. 803-0930, start answering your cell phone. I'm going to go right to Paul in Middleport. Paul, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine here. I love you. I love you, guy, and I love Donald Trump, and I'm a Trump guy.
Great. Thanks a lot, Paul. I appreciate it.
See, about this Russian collusion was three-pronged or has three participants involved in it. One, they've talked about till the cows come home, Brennan, Comey, Clapper, Clinton, Lynch, and Obama. Yeah, they all need to be indicted. We know that. We're hearing that on all radio frequencies, and you're right in doing so, and indictments do need to come down. That's prong number one. Prong number two would probably be there was some Russian participation in this, according to the Steele dossier, where he got the information off the Russians. That's prong number two. Nobody, but nobody, has mentioned prong number three. And the American people deserve to have the entire truth. There were three participants in this conspiracy, and I do call it a three-way conspiracy. How much of this stops at the doorstep of number 10 Downing Street or GCHQ or even Buckingham Palace? Halpern was British. Christopher Steele was also a British agent, MI6. Now, they fall under GCHQ. Look, has Steele been questioned by Mueller? Has Steele testified before Congress? Has Halpern? We are not hearing anything. What?
And the Australians as well. You know, I mean, I believe you, Paul. I think the British were a part of this. The first thing you need to know is that the British have denied it. So there you go. There's your confirmation. I think it's clear. Halpern is actually American, you know, expatriate living in London, teaching in London, but he's American. I think Steele, there's no such thing as a former MI6 guy or a former CIA guy. They retain their clearances, and they continue to do consulting work for the spy agencies. I just know that as a fact. I have a lot of friends who are former spies who are still operating. They'll disappear for weeks at a time and come back with a tan, you know. And, you know, even in their 50s and 60s, they're doing that. So there's no such thing as a former intelligence operative.
This government is going to go ahead and deny this. But let's look at the history between our beloved president and the royal family, for kick. They got bad blood between the royal family and Donald Trump. If you go back in history and examine this a little bit closer here, okay, it's a known fact when the president went to England, he was snubbed by Prince William and Prince Harry there. All right, he was snubbed by them. And also by Prince Charles, okay? We also know that Prince Charles is a leftist. He's a globalist. He's a globalist baby. He's an environmental wacko. This is what we know. We have to learn more about the royal family and about their relationship with the Trumps. We also know by a journalist by the name, last name Scott, is a woman. I can't remember the article of her writing an article about our president sending Princess Diana flowers and the royal family rejecting it and Diana rejecting it as well. They do have a history together, and the history is not good. Now, the Paris Peace Accord, the Paris Accords and Brexit, London signed off on and Prince was in favor of and the royals are in favor of. The Queen Elizabeth herself recently came out and spoke and hoped that they would sign on to Brexit. Donald Trump didn't, and Donald Trump didn't sign off on Paris. So they got something against them. Now, could this be possibly that they resented the fact that President Trump was at one time courting Princess Diana and that he is a conservative and then being leftist? And that could have been, and they resented that fact. Could he even possibly be going way out on a left limb? But the president of the United States, our current president, Donald Trump, could have possibly been at one time, maybe, even the stepdad of Prince William and Prince Harry, if things were left to go on course. We need to examine this more closer now. There's a lot of resentment going on there. And if they did have a hand, which we still have to investigate this further, we resent it. Great Britain, you do not have a vote in our elections, okay? We fought the Revolutionary War. We fought the War of 1812. This is damaging our relationship, and we as Americans have got to let the British government know this.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah, I hear you, Paul. I'm letting you talk, man, because you're making sense. You always make sense when you call in. Thank you so much, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Paul's right. Are we ever going to find out whether the Australians with Downer, their highest-ranking diplomat in London, whether the MI6 and the other intelligence agencies involved in the British intelligence, were they helping? How did they help? Will we ever find that out? Because they will always deny it. I wonder if John Durham's going to get to the bottom of what our allies did to try to stop Donald Trump. That is a question for the ages. I sure hope so. We'll be right back after these messages on WBEN. Beach and Company. Michael Caputo in for Sandy today. Oh, just another 22 minutes of this show. I'll be back in tomorrow. You'll see Sandy at the board on Monday. And you'll be happy to know he'll be tanned, rested, and ready. And maybe a little overfed when he arrives. I've really enjoyed it. Joe, I know you had fun with Brenda in the days you were on your own, Joe. A lot of fun at the on the mic, right?
Yes. Sorry, ABC's squawking at us.
ABC, yeah, they're always squawking. You know, I have a texter here at 30930 who's asking me, does NBC, CBS, ABC, and et cetera force local stations to run political stories making the president look bad, whether they want to or not? They don't force them. There are other places like Sinclair Broadcasting, which is rather conservative, that does force their local affiliates to do certain programming, and it tends to be pro-business. But not ABC, NBC, CBS. The issue is, like, for example, the local affiliates, like, we're an affiliate of ABC News. You're going to hear ABC's bias in their news coverage. You're going to hear ABC's bias with their commentators that call in during the morning to talk to our morning show, our morning news show host. You're going to hear their bias. But also ABC has Alex Castellanos. Alex Castellanos, I've known for many, many years. He is not a Trump. He's not an anti-Trumper. Joe, what's that?
Wasn't he at one point though an anti-Trumper?
Early on
in the primaries.
Yes, he was with another client. You know, he's a pollster. An advertising mogul. So he's for who pays him. But after the nomination, he was the advertising guru behind one of the super PACs for Trump. And Alex taught me everything I know about advertising. He's brilliant. And so while you have Steve Roberts, who drives people crazy, you also have Alex, who tends to sound more moderate than he is conservative, but he's a conservative Cuban Republican.
And he's heard 820 on Tuesdays here on WBEN.
Is it 820 on Tuesdays? 820 Tuesdays. I love Alex. And he replaced
your buddy.
Yeah, I couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So, no, they don't force them. But you'll hear it because, you know, our deal with ABC, I don't know the details, but, you know, they provide our national news feed. And because ABC tends to be a little bit on the, anti-Trump, you'll hear some bias. The commentators, you hear some bias. They don't force us to do anything. They don't force WKBW to do anything here on television. The one thing you'll note, and I think it's everybody who's on social media, especially Facebook, understands this. Watch the social media accounts of WIVB, WGRZ, not so much WKBW or Spectrum, but IVB and WGRZ, you'll find that their social media accounts they're more political and more partisan in their story selection than the on-air news is. And that's a kind of new development in media where reporters and news organizations will do things on social media that appear to be biased or whatever you want to say, that they wouldn't do on their FCC-regulated channel. And these kinds of differences, the subtle differences, what they do on social, what they do on their FCC-regulated channel, is something you got to keep an eye on. And I notice that some of our local network affiliates here get a lot of crap on social media for the stories that they choose, but understand this. The person in charge of social media at a national network affiliate in every city in the United States is typically a millennial because they tend to know more about social media. They tend to be more interested in social media. They tend to be focused on it. And, you know, the job itself isn't very, very high paying. It's kind of an entry level job at a network affiliate. So the person who's selecting that news actually shows their bias. The posts they put up, they won't put anything positive up, for example, about the president revealing his immigration plan today. They will put up something negative because they're a 20-something and they just got out of college where they were brainwashed. And, you know, anybody in their 20s, what's the old saying? If you're in your 20s and you're not a liberal, you have no heart. And if you're in your 40s and you're not a conservative, you have no brain. So this is age-driven stuff.
You mentioned being brainwashed in college, but they're also brainwashed by TV, watching Colbert and Jon Stewart, thinking that that was actual news source.
Right, no doubt. I mean, it's funny, but it's true. The Daily Show is the primary news source, or at least it used to be, with Jon Stewart, of a vast number of young people. It's frightening to me that you would get your news from a comedy show.
Trevor Noah kind of ran that down, though. But you guys are right. I mean, with Jon Stewart, I even watched it. I mean, it was very biased. But if you watch it as a comedy show, that's one thing. But like you said, comes on at 11, and people are turning that on thinking it's the 11 o'clock news.
Right.
Or treating it like the 11 o'clock news.
Never thought of it that way. I do believe that the networks are biased. And I do believe that local news is biased. But at every organization, you have a solid reporter. I mean, even at, Mother Jones, which is a radical leftist publication, they have great writers. right? There are talented people who happen to be leftists. They don't pretend to be anything but leftist. But it, you know, here in Buffalo, we have Ryan Whalen over at Spectrum News, who is a solid reporter with zero bias. Dave Graber at WIVB, who is a solid reporter with, I believe, zero bias. Dave McKinley, who is a solid reporter and irritates the living crap out of all the people he's reporting on because he just basically takes no prisoners, you know? And, you know, we have people at the Buffalo News who are equally reputable. And then, just like on the national level, they're surrounded by people who aren't as good as they are. That's just the nature of business. And at the end of the day, understand that media is a business. They tend to follow the ratings. They try to make more money. They try to hike their advertising rates. And believe me, when CNN, and during the Russia hoax, the 2 years of the collusion investigation, CNN was making bank, man. MSNBC was making bank, and now it's gone. I understand that they have to continue selling the Russia hoax. It's really all they have. But you and me, the listeners, you and me, let's just hold hands and join all the normals out there laughing as the people who buy into this Russia hoax and sell it knowing it's false see everything melt down around them because it's Durham time. We'll be right back after these messages. Here's a straight up deal from Straight Up Wines and Liquors. Get $20 for just $10. That's 50% savings at Straight Up Wines and Liquors. It's the deal of the day from My Buffalo Perks. Details at mybuffaloperks.com.
Michael, what am I watching here? What's that? Hold on. Let me minimize the PGA Championship. The Democrats are rigging the entirety of the Mueller report on Capitol Hill today.
Are they?
Really?
Yeah.
It's just laughable, right?
It is. You know, I talked about my new friends Jim and Dawn, who sat next to me. Unfortunate enough for them to sit next to me on the plane because I kept bugging them. I didn't seem to be particularly political. Didn't seem to be obviously Republican. And both of them are like, they're just sick of it. I mean, I tend to, when I talk to people on the road, I try to, you know, figure out where their head's at on things. Just, you know, it's a way to measure public sentiment in a, you know, anecdotal fashion. And it interests me. But Jim and Dawn are like, they're over it. They are over it. I mean, maybe they were interested when it was first being brought up. But now that the report is out, they are over it. And the Democrats are way overplaying his hand. Way overplaying it. In fact, you know, somebody who just tweeted me on my Twitter feed, which is Michael R. Caputo, he said, this guy says, they crave a new hoax because their Russian hoax is dead.
Plus, they have to cover up for all their misdeeds.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny, you know, ABC is actually showing this on their Facebook page, is where I first saw it. And the comments, you would think from ABC, maybe some favorable comments. No, most of these are like, waste of time and money, get back to work. This is a complete waste of time. This is just helping Trump in 2020. I mean, nothing seems to be positive for the Democrats taking a whole day to read 400 pages of the Mueller report.
Shouldn't they have read that a while ago,
yeah,
by
no
the
doubt.
Way?
I mean, are they reading it aloud,
aloud
on the floor?
Yes,
that
they are.
That is crazy.
Not on the floor, I'm sorry. They're reading it aloud in the Capitol hearing room.
And somebody's
drawing pictures
like a
for special
Ocasio.
Event?
Yes.
That is outrageous.
Reading the entire thing aloud. It started about 30 minutes ago, according to this live feed, and there are four of them right now reading, but some empty chairs, which makes me think more to come.
It's interesting, you know, they're lost. They're absolutely, I mean, I was in charge of radio and television news coverage of the House of Representatives, and when I worked there, it was the newsroom for TV and radio. I was a deputy director. And I mean, I just know how the House works. It's never changed. The rules don't change. The comity doesn't change. I just know how it works.
Some of
this
the politicians
is unusual.
Don't change.
This is unusual.
This is laughable.
It's unusual, and I think it's comedic. It really is. I think the problem is I wish we had more creative people running the Republican side of the House of Representatives. Because, you know, if I was in charge of, you know, I would take some action outside the room or in the room. Maybe in the room. You know, have people dressed as clowns, you know, or something.
But, you know, like, I'm not the most intelligent person in the world. But
I didn't say that.
I can see that this isn't, that this is comical. This is getting nowhere. No one inside the Democrat Party said, you know, let's pump the brakes.
You know, it's the same thing on the anti-Semitic stuff that we're seeing. You know, it's the same thing on this crazy Green New Deal, which has no chance. They're all going out and embracing these nutty things because they feel like they have to, because their because they radicalize their base with the Russian hoax. They've turned their base into nut jobs, and now they have to feed them. And so this, you know, reading aloud. That is hilarious. I really got to hear from Terry in Texas. Terry, what's happening?
Tell you what, Michael, I think we're going to find out who killed JFK, where Jimmy Hoffa's buried, and if Rosie O'Donnell is really John Lovitz before we ever get to the bottom of anything that's happening here right now. The Democrats, before the you know, we get to the bottom of all this, would single-handedly incite a civil war here in the country or use their demonic powers to start World War III so that we'd never know, because they'd rather burn this country down than watch the great one Obama go down in flames where he should be and everybody else below him.
Terry, let me tell you, if John Durham started getting too close to Barack Obama, you would see insanity. You would, if you liked what you saw outside the Kavanaugh hearings, that's just a dress rehearsal for the reaction to John Durham. It's a dress rehearsal. All the nutty people crawling up the Supreme Court steps and scratching their fingernails on the door to the Supreme Court, that is tame compared to what's going to go down.
These people are out of their minds, and this is just, I think, the tip of the iceberg, some of the evil that we're seeing coming out of these people. And I think, you know, we'll never know the true extent of how corrupt the Obama administration, how, quite frankly, how corrupt Washington really is. And it goes to show you, you know, the lengths they'll go to try to keep it covered up when somebody like President Trump comes along and threatens to expose them and alleviate them from their positions. I mean, these people are, it's scary to watch. It really is. And you got to have a sense of humor in this life or this stuff going to drive us crazy too. So I just try to keep my wits about me and, you know, not take it with a grain of salt. I certainly take it seriously, but you know, these people are sick.
Well, they're clearly out of touch. And, you know, I know I'm a conservative. A lot of the listeners here are conservative, but it's just not good sense to do this. I mean, if the polls show, like what they're doing on impeachment right now, they're pretending that they don't want to do it. But my goodness, we're in a constitutional crisis and we might have to do it, right? It's all theater. They're walking us closer and closer to impeachment. And today's dramatic reading of the Mueller report will, you know, it just pleases the people that they have radicalized. They probably got it tuned in live over at, you know, thepalmerreport.com and others. They're crazed. All of them, they're crazed.
It's probably the first time they read it, and you know none of their followers have read it. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't read it, but that's because I listen to WBN like 15 hours a day, so I ain't got to read it.
Right, right. Hey, Terry, my advice is buy more popcorn. This is going to get really good. Thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. I'll catch you in the morning. I know we got a cash code, don't we, Joe?
We sure do, Michael, but you asked for the standings in the PGA Championship first. Right now, Brooks Koepka is in first place, 5 under. Tiger tied for 28th, 1 over. It's noon, time for a cash code. It's BREAK, BRAKE, BREAK. Text that to 72881.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.